Once again, I bring you greetings in the Lord's name, and thank God that we can come. So now, please turn your Bibles back to the book of Haggai, and we are looking at the last part of chapter 2, from verses 19 to 23. And this portion, this is the final, or rather the fourth and final message of the message the Lord gave to his people through the prophet Haggai. It is a message of assurance regarding a certain future where God will overthrow all of the world's kingdom and the establishment of the Messiah kingdom. Firstly, for the people of at the time of the prophet Haggai, it is a assurance of the coming of the Messiah in the flesh, and which refers to Jesus's first coming, first event. And then, of course, the prophet Haggai also bring us to the future event, and that is the final fulfillment or the final establishment of Christ's kingdom, where the Lord Jesus Christ will reign supreme forever and ever. And we who are his people will join with him in his heavenly kingdom. Our thought this afternoon is on the subject of a threefold blessing. And our text, I would like to just focus on the last part of verse 19. From this day, I will bless you. And of course, I must very quickly make a qualification here. It means more of spiritual blessing rather than temporal and physical blessing. Though, of course, we know that the Lord do bless us with much of the of our physical needs, whatever that we needed and desire, the Lord do from time to time even provide for our temporal needs. God's blessing, brethren, is the richest gift which his creatures can receive. To be deprived of this blessing from the Lord is their greatest calamity, is our greatest calamity. Proverbs 10:22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. It is so unlike the so-called blessing, the things that the world offer to us, which can be a blessing, but yet it oftentimes bring us much sorrow and pain. And there is a price, so to speak, to pay to have the so-called worldly blessing. The blessing of the Lord, however, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it. And then we have this question. What is hell? It is the place where God's blessing cannot come. And then, what is heaven? It is the place where God's blessing is constantly enjoyed without admixture. The highest felicity of a creature is to be blessed by our God, our Creator God. And the very highest felicity of the child of God is to have his father's or her father's blessing on his head and in his heart. When the Lord Jesus appeared in human flesh, though you and I were not born, yet were we written in the book in which all the members of Christ are written. And from that day, when Christ bowed his head and said, "It is finished," and yielded up the ghost, a channel of blessing was opened for those sweet grace of God to flow to His chosen people out of His great mercy. And from that day, God began to bless His people very richly spiritually. When you and I were born, from the moment we received our first breath and our eyes were opened to the light, we may not be aware. Mercies were waiting for us from that very moment when we received our first breath, when our eyes were open to the light. Mercies were waiting for each one of us. We may say that from the cradle, the Lord Jesus has said, from this day, I will bless you. But to some of us, and praise the Lord for His mercy, there has been a second birthday for some, a day in which we passed from death unto life, from darkness into light. Happy day. Happy day for the Christians and those of us who have this, experienced this second birthday. We can never forget it. It is in happiness to that day in which we shall see the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, without a veil between. The happiest day of our existence was that when we saw Christ hanging on the cross to bear the punishment of our sins, and from that moment, all our sins, the guilt of sins, are removed. Truly, may the Christian believer say, as I stand at the foot of the cross and remember that day when Christ first met with me there, that He then said to me, from this day will I bless you. Brethren and friends, is this your portion? Have you experienced that? Can you truly say that from that day, the Lord promised to me, His blessing to me began? This afternoon, I would like to use the text, first of all, to speak to seeking souls. So our first head is an assurance to seeking souls. An assurance to seeking souls. Dear friend, have you been for a long time seeking rest? Are you troubled? Are you downcast? Are you weary? And yet while seeking, you find none, no rest. You are weary, heavy laden, and you are saying to yourself, when will God bless me? When will His blessing come to me? When shall I be privileged to have the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior and to know that my sins are forgiven and all my guilt are removed? Perhaps you may be thinking of that. My beloved brethren and friends, there is a time known to God when He will show His face to His people. That period, that time, when it does arrive, will certainly bring you much comfort. It is written concerning Christ. He must needs go through Samaria. And there is a similar necessity that for us, to every chosen sinner, there is a day of grace that should come. And he or she may see Christ and be saved through Him. That fixed and blessed time shall yet arrive to you. And I pray that it may arrive today to you. You may then inquire or ask or thinking, how may I know when that time of blessing is likely to arrive? When that time of blessing is likely to arrive? So let me give you some signs by which you may foresee the time of God's blessing. Firstly, you are likely to have that impression of God's blessing, of His love in your heart when you have given up or surrendered all in the flesh. It may be that you have, some of us have some indistinct reliance, dependence, or confidence in something, at the present moment, perhaps upon your own prayers, you are not so foolish as to trust in your own, in your baptism, or in your confirmation, or your church going, or your charitable works. But there, in our hearts, there lurks within us that treacherous thought that there is some efficacy, some usefulness in myself. Some usefulness perhaps in my Bible reading, some usefulness in my tears, in my repentance, or something else that comes from you. Remember, you will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything else except Christ. This is what I want to bring up to all of us. You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness, the vanity of everything else except the Lord Jesus, your Savior. All the works that human energy can do, all the effort that we put in the matter of eternal salvation, must be plucked down by God's hand. There is no place in God's kingdom for the self-righteous, the self-reliant, the selfish. It is Christ alone who must build that house, that spiritual house. Unless he shall do so, we all of us will labor in vain that built it. You must, I must, cast out every particle of the old leaven. For Christ and your soul can never be agreed until you are willing humbly to take Christ to be your sole and only reliance. And if you have a shadow of dependence on anywhere else or anyone else except Christ, Christ can never be your savior to you. Oh, dear friends and brethren, see to this matter soberly. Soberly reflect upon this. Next, when is the next time? There is another time. The time for God to bless you is probably when there is a clean divorce between you and your sins. In short, when you forsake sin and fly to the cross for cleansing and forgiveness. It is that time. It is those things that keep so many poor sinners in trouble, because though they have given up many sins, and it is true, thank God for, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we do, Christians do give up many sins. However, there are in many Christians one favorite sin which they still hold on to. Oh, so sinners, you cannot love Christ and your sins at the same time. Your heart must hate all sin, and your heart must love all holiness. When this happened to you, from that day, the Lord God will bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is the promise to you in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Another sign, but this is in the negative, is that you will never, or you will not experience that time of God's blessing, because, and you have never obtained peace from God through Christ, because you have not sought it earnestly. But then you say, I have prayed, minister, preacher, pastor, I have prayed. And you say you prayed in earnest. I have groaned, I have cried, I have wrestled with the Lord. Yes, I know. I know you have done so at times. But if you look at it carefully, your earnestness has been of intermittent order or irregular. The gates of heaven open to all who are really believing in Christ. However, they must know how to knock and to knock again and again. And in the scripture, we have an example for our direction. Look at that widow in Luke chapter 18 who continued to plead even to the unjust judge. And finally, her case was heard. Brethren and friends, if you are cold, half-hearted, and indifferent, not earnest in your prayer, not fervent in the spirit, never expect God to bless you, because you yourself show no interest and no earnestness. But when your soul, when your heart comes to a devout enthusiasm, and that is this fire in your bones, so to speak, that you want to seek the Lord and you want to wrestle with the Lord, from that day will God bless you. You can be assured of that. Yet another sign, and I think you are quite sure to get a blessing, when you are willing to have it God's way. I repeat, when you are willing to have it God's way, just like the Lord Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Some of you do not intend to believe in Christ because you are like doubting Thomas, one of the disciples of Christ. But if you have made up your mind, friends and brethren, if you have made up a mind and determined that unless you see and touch, or else you will not believe in Jesus, then be assured. The day of your blessing will linger longer before it comes. However, when in humility, in your sobriety, you lay your hearts before God as the wax under the seal, ready to take any impression that the hand of God chooses to put upon it, then, only then, will God say to you, from this day, I will bless you. Well, I said this before, and I think it is worth repeating. Just always remember these three S or S's. Surrender, submit, and subject yourself to the Almighty God. Or, in the word of scripture, humble yourselves before God, and indeed, He will bless you. And if you are unable to do so, to humble yourself before God, then plead and pray that the Holy Spirit will work that in your heart, that you will come before God willingly in humility and submit and to subject to Him. To sum up everything in one, if there be a sinner here who says in his or her heart, truly Lord, I will take Christ, I will take you without question, without condition and without doubting, and humbly surrender myself to you, then from that moment, God will bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If your faith, brethren, is built on Christ and Christ only and Christ alone, then rejoice. Go your way. Your sins, though many, are forgiven, cleansed, forgotten, and you are accepted into the eternal kingdom of Christ. Neither death nor hell shall ever separate you from your Father's love. Rejoice with unspeakable joy, for a long train of mercies shall be yours world without end. And this is the promise of the Lord to those. This is an assurance to those that the Lord gave to the Christian believers. And then now I shall turn my attention, secondly, to God's people and address a few words to them. Our second head is an assurance to Christian believers. The first is an assurance and assurance of blessing to the seeking soul, and now an assurance of blessing to the Christian believers. There are many saints of God who know their blessedness in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are yearning for more, a higher state of spiritual life, and this is commendable. They want more communion with Christ, a closer walk with their Savior, a greater conformity to His image. A greater conformity to His image and more love for the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, you may also be thinking, when will you expect this choice blessing from the Lord Jesus? You may also be thinking like the seeking soul, when will be the time that God will bless me with such spiritual blessing? Well, I suggest, firstly, that the time will come when your spirit, when your heart is entirely resigned to the divine will. Then from that day, God will bless you. Brethren, our misery begins where? At the root of our selfishness, our self-righteousness. Where selfishness begins, sorrow begins. Where selfishness is dead, grief is dead. If our hearts had wholly given up everything to the will of God, if we are willing to commit and to place all our hearts and our soul and everything else in our life at the feet of Jesus, we shall never lose anything, for we should already have given it up. We should never murmur, if we could say, as the old Puritan said, I always have my own will because God has helped me to make His will my own will. I repeat, and this is a very edifying saying from the Puritans. I always have my own will because God has helped me to make His will my own will. Can you truly say that, brethren, friends, boys and girls? If you are able, then from that day you can be assured God will bless you. As Christian believers, we may expect great blessing from the Lord when you and I engage in earnest prayer, especially in earnest prayer. And there is a story that I like to tell you concerning a certain Highlander who began to entertain all these doubts concerning his own salvation. He, however, could not rest in doubt. He was struggling. And so he went to the top of a high mountain. And there he continued all night wrestling with God in prayer, just like Jacob. And he was so taken up in his time of prayer with his Savior that he remained there the whole next day. But from that time onward, from that time of his prayer, after his prayer onward, he was never vexed with any doubt anymore. His mighty struggle with Satan, the evil one, upon the top of the mountain seems to end for him forever, all his doubts, all his fear. And from that time, a clear light set in upon him until he was taken home to glory. Brethren, if we were to have some season, some time set apart for seeking communion with the Lord Jesus Christ in earnest prayer. For at such time, you can expect God to bless you. Thirdly, now I come to my final head, and that is an assurance of blessing to every church of Christ. I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will hear that voice. From this day, will I bless you if the people of God is intent upon getting a blessing from the Lord. Brethren, why is it that there are times so often that we feel that God is not hearing our prayers, and God seems so far away, and our prayers seems to be, the answers to our prayers seems to be delayed? Perhaps it is because we are not earnest in prayer. We are not determined of getting a blessing from the Lord. Of course, we recognize that it is a difficult thing, however, to get the whole church into that state of purpose and determination that we want the blessing of the Lord, and we will not give up praying, wrestling with the Lord until the Lord bless me. And this is the difficult spiritual exercise to get the whole church into that condition. However, if we have only one heart, one mind, and that one heart and one mind is this: if we purpose to plead before God until He opens the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, if we feel every one of us will wrestle with God in earnest prayer until He gives us our heart's desire, well, I believe if we do that, if this be true, from that very day forward, God will bless us. God will indeed open heaven window and pour forth a blessing upon us if we persevere in prayer. Importunate prayer. God is sure to bless His people when everyone feels that he or she has something to do and means to do it. The main business of each Christian should lie in his or her own personal responsibility. As believers, we are not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ and our Savior. If you feel that each one of you has a calling to fill and resolve that you will try to fill it, do it as unto the Lord for His glory. If you realize that there is something to be done in God's name, you mean each one of you to do it, then from this time, God will bless you. And there is sure to be a blessing when there is this strong current of prayer among God's people in the church. Not just private prayer, but corporate prayer. Brethren, we must pray more in private indeed. We must be instant in season and out of season in prayer, if prayer can ever be out of season, which I doubt so. And then when we come together at our prayer meetings, there must be wrestling time, a time that we are determined, purpose in our hearts that we want the Lord to bless us with His heavenly blessing. And in that time, the blessing will surely be won from God by our holy wrestling in prayer. When love and harmony joins hands, when each member of the Church of Christ assists each other, each member, when the whole united church seek the Lord, seek nothing but the glory of God in the conversion of souls, in the building up of His people, for the advancement, for the glory of God, for the name of Christ, then will the blessing come. Therefore, let us plead. Let us turn back to the Lord Jesus and plead and not to give up. Let us purpose in our heart to be earnest in prayer, to ask the Lord Jesus to give us a fresh and greater portion of the visitation of the Holy Spirit, to revive us, to revive our hearts, to awaken us from our spiritual slumber and our spiritual indifference. And we shall surely have it, and the Lord's name shall be glorified. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we confess indeed that oftentimes we do not seek thee as we ought. We do not love you as we ought. We are not earnest in prayer. And oftentimes we are very careless in our prayer. We are not determined to receive a blessing from thee. We are not prepared to wrestle with you like Jacob in prayer. O Lord, forgive us for our doubting. Forgive us for our weak faith. Forgive us, O Lord, that we have not seek you diligently. May thou please pardon us and cleanse every one of your children by thy shed blood. Sanctify us anew by your Holy Spirit and make us a clean vessel for thy holy worship and service. And that may your Spirit continue to work in us and to write upon the table of our hearts, O Lord, thy word and thy law. And that you may give us much grace and help of the Holy Spirit to be doers of thy word, keepers of thy law, that we may seek thee, draw near to thee, walk close to thee. And Lord, may you be gracious and merciful. As thy people seek you, may you grant us token of your blessing, of encouragement and comfort. And so, Lord, in this new week, we pray once again that thou will go with us, that thou will lead and guide us in all our responsibilities and duties, in all that our hands find to do in this new week. We pray for much grace, wisdom, the empowering of your Holy Spirit, that we may do well, that, Lord, we may bring glory and honor to your holy name. So, Lord, bless us, thy people, and dismiss us with thy blessing of peace and joy forevermore. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.